Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, Ed, with another episode with us today. And hopefully everybody had a good work week. If not, we're going to look forward into having one better coming up this week. I'd like to take the time to welcome my good friend and co-host, Dr. James Moore. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. I have no complaints. And today we're also going to be introducing a guest of ours, Mr. Morris Harvey, who's going to be joining us today. And we want to make sure that everybody out there knows, feel free to call in today. Touch base with us. We also want to let you know that we've moved over our show to radiophoenix.org and tunein.com, and I'll get those call letters for you later as well. And as we build it up, our show is, we would be glad to have everybody out there. It's going to be good. Today, our segment, Somewhere in the World, our topic is Another Shade of Black. And this week we take a look at some of the things that would or could make us take a more in-depth view of how we look at our own home, America, and how it, with all its flaws, can sincerely uphold the title of home of the free. We also examine some of the most, according to us, horrendous acts against people in places other than here in the U.S. That give the word black an entirely different definition and shows us to have an entirely different appreciation for what we have today, as well as work harder to make it even better. But first, we're going to start off our segment because we're in the month of November. We want to start off our first segment with our man of the hour, and we're going to introduce Josh Belial. And he's an independent film creator, possibly student as well, and he's going across the country. We're proud of the work that he's doing, and I like the concept of which way he's going. So we want to bring him on and welcome him to On Point. Josh, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. How long have you been on How long have you been on this project?
Well, I started in September 11th, actually. I started in North Carolina, started hitchhiking and taking buses and just traveling as far as I can with as little money as I can or as I have. I started in November, and so now it's, November 5th, so it's almost 2 months now. And I'll be continuing in the spring, too, starting up again, hitting the road, heading to the New England area.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about the project. What's it consist of? What's your overall goal?
The basic idea is just to give the people across the country a voice. I'm just traveling city to city, state to state, gathering stories from everyone that I meet and recording it and, getting their story out there. People who think their story is, not much, but they get a voice and they get to express views and their story.
Okay. And what's the name of, this is a documentary or a social documentary?
Yeah. The documentary is called What We Talk About When We Talk About Us. The title's, I got the idea from Raymond Carver's novel, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love. It's just a collection of fiction short stories, but this documentary is a collection of nonfiction, obviously, short stories from people all over.
That's grand. And now are you a student of the arts as well? Did you go to school formally?
Yeah, I went to school at Central Michigan University for a couple of years for broadcast and cinematic arts. And
okay.
then I took some time off, and now I'm just kind of doing my own thing.
Okay. Well, the reason why I asked you on is because I was very interested in the project that you're doing. The fact that you decided to get out and explore the country itself. A lot of people never even leave the comfort of their own city, their own state.
Right, right.
And to be so young and to take that adventure, that's kind of a bold thing. It's a good thing. And it also induces other people to know that there's more to life than just being stationary. There's more to it. Everybody has a story,
yeah.
And I like the idea, the concept that you want to make sure that people have a voice and that their voice can be heard and seen at the same time. Now, is it
Definitely.
Just you on this project, or do you have someone else working?
Well, yeah, I started alone. And once I got into Chicago, I met up with some friends from my hometown and then a girl that kind of helped me get some more exposure through a media company in Chicago called Runaway Media. But, yeah, the whole project is just a personal project.
And where do you anticipate on having it broadcast? Are you trying to –
yeah.
Do you want to go into the Independent Film Society and make sure they see it?
Once the final product's done, I'm going to try to submit it into, you know, various film festivals across the country and, yeah, try to get some exposure through that Runaway Media. They're kind of like a news or a youth culture magazine kind of thing, and they're just starting up their video section, so I think this will be a great first start for them.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So when do you anticipate on wrapping this up? Are you trying to hit all 50 states? Or?
Not all 50. I'm just trying to get a good, you know, make it as diverse as I can.
Okay.
After I hit, once spring comes back around, I'm going to travel out to, like I said, the New England area and get that whole region covered, because I've gotten, you know, from East Coast to West Coast now. And everything in between. So,
okay.
Yeah. Once that area is covered, then that'll pretty much wrap it up.
Well, that's kind of cool. Well, you know what, Josh? All of us here at On Point, and everybody listening, I'm pretty sure they agree with me. We wish you luck on this endeavor. It's a broad endeavor to go on, especially solo. And is there any way that we'd be able to assist you? Do you have a GoFundMe page? Do you have a site that we could go to or something to that
effect? I do have a GoFundMe page. It's gofundme.com/ Josh Belial Doc. That's JOSHBELLIELDOC. And all that money just goes into travel costs and, like, goes towards equipment needed to make the documentary as good as possible.
Right, right. That makes sense. Well, if there's a young man or young woman listening to you today, and they're interested in doing something, and taking an endeavor, a step outside of the norm, you know, outside the box, give them some words of encouragement. What would you tell them to do? How could they be you?
I would tell them, just if you have an idea, you have a thought, just go out and do it. You know, like, just take that bold step and just do what you want to do. Make it, you know, with the best mind full of positivity and ambition, and just go out there and do it. You can change the world. I've gotten multiple ideas for next projects already. Just the people that I'm meeting, it's amazing. Life can change, and just from meeting one person in a completely different area. So it just opens up. It opens up a lot of opportunities if you just go out and do what you want to do.
I concur. I like that. I love that. The power of youth and the power of intuitiveness. I like the fact that you got that drive. You know what? Don't let anybody or anything, no force on the planet, on the face of this earth, deter you from that mission. Well, we appreciate
Exactly.
having you with us, Josh. And We wish you good luck in all your endeavors. We hope to see your name in a major motion picture possibly one day.
Yeah.
And we'd like to thank you for joining us here at On Point, okay?
Thank you very much.
No doubt.
Thank you.
Take care, Josh. Well, thank you, listeners. That was great. I think the young man's got a nice little future ahead of him. The fact that he was going to step out there and he's deciding to show that everything outside of his normal world has a different story. It has another story. And he said something about being diverse, and he wants to give those individuals a voice. That's big. That brings us to our subject. There's something called the Black Children of China. We're going to expound more on it later, but it has nothing to do with color. This isn't a black or white issue. This is a human rights issue. These youthful people, these children, they've been kind of subject to the worst kind of conditions possible. Remember Mission Impossible? They said if in the event that you are caught, we are going to disavow any knowledge of you. Imagine if your country did that on purpose, simply because you were born. Just because you were born. That would suck, to put it lightly. And that's what's happening with these individuals. That's exactly what's happening with these individuals. They are not allowed, because they're the second children born into a family in China, Beijing. The second child born, starting from the early 60s, or late 60s, wasn't to be recognized. And a woman who got pregnant, or family that got pregnant, it had some negative repercussions for a long time. They'd actually force abortions or sterilizations, or depending on the health of the mother, complete, as they call it, life sterilization. You get rid of a person. Simply because they were doing exactly what they were made to do, to reproduce, to procreate. At one point, they were killing the little girls. You can only have one girl per family. Had a daughter. Then you got pregnant again. You had a son. That was cool. These children, they're not allowed to have birth certificates. They're not allowed to go to school. They're not allowed to go to public libraries. They can't go to any place.
They can't even
ride
a train.
I'm sorry?
They can't even ride a train.
That's, yes. Yes. How do you feel about this? I'm weighing in, please. And for those of you that are listening, if you have something to say and you know you got this resting on your heart, feel free to touch base with us. 347-855-8662. Call in. We want to hear what you have to say as well. There's so much more to this. That's crazy. Jay, what did you find?
I found a lot of stuff, and it was a little disturbing. Now, the first thing I want to say is, sometimes we don't understand other cultures, and we have to take a moment and consider that a culture. But there becomes a time, I honestly believe, where we have to look at the ecumenical perspective of things. Sometimes, even though things are culturally different, they're just not right, fair, or just, or even ethical. And as I was looking through some of the articles and doing a little research, you find that these ladies, generally they're females, and most of them are females, and what's going on here is they're not allowed a birth certificate, they can't get a job, they don't have permission to travel, they can't get housing. One lady was mentioning that if they found out, her folks would be charged 8 to 10 times what normal annual income is because she was born. And the parents who fail to pay the fee won't be able to obtain housing registration. And another lady, she had a stillbirth. And what happened is they found out that she was having a baby or had lost the baby, and someone rallied a bunch of farmers together to come chase her down and beat up her family. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, there's nothing with the government doing it, but when the folks start to side with the government, that becomes a scary society. And I think that, you know, we have to bring a little bit of awareness to the situation.
I would like to
now,
say one thing.
Now, they are starting to change the rules. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was that? Lady Trees, glad that you're with us.
Yes. I'm sorry for the late call, but I mean, I just want to say one thing. I feel like when the government starts to control your personal life, it's a problem. True or not, they have to wait until March for them to even know an answer. And when I was doing my research prior to last week, they were saying like you have to make an appointment in order for you to have a second child. You know, but even when you had a second child, you got to act as if this child doesn't exist. I understand that China is overpopulated. I get all that. But for them to go through all that, isn't that my right? If I want to have a child, two or three kids, so who are you to tell me that I can't have any kids? I only can have one child, that's it. That's not fair to me as a woman.
2.7 billion people. So,
that's not fair.
No, I agree. It doesn't seem fair. But then when you start looking at what it is that we here in America argue about, coffee being too hot, you know, the cost of a condom, really, you know, people suing companies, organizations suing people over pictures of monkeys, you know. Hey, a dog that has the rights of a human that can't even speak. You know, conservatorship of an entire organization not being with the children but going to a parakeet foundation. Yeah, we have frivolous things that we worry about. Here they wanna have the right for an abortion. And you got people on another side of the world wanting to fight to be able to have children. Really? Really? Mr. Harvey, I'm glad you're with us today. I know you want to jump in with us.
Well, yes, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. You know, China instituted this policy back in the mid-70s.
Right.
And part of the reason was to really to prevent overpopulation, number one, but also to, you know, control the resources, you know, so that they could limit the demands on the resources, water, infrastructure. And so they began this policy, again, in the mid-70s, on through the 80s. They limited
And they have, I heard they've changed. I heard they've come to change it or amend it. But go ahead, continue.
And of course, with it, the male child was the preference. And so you were allowed to have one child, and many of the families were, that was preferred.
I'm sorry. Excuse me for this moment. Please be mindful of your background noise. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Morris. My apologies.
They've since changed the policy now, and now they allow for two children. But to speak to the black children, they're very marginalized. As the other callers have mentioned, the resources are not available to them. They can't get, they can't see the doctors, they can't ride public transportation, they can't go to schools. So they're very marginalized.
They can't go to churches.
They can't, they quite literally can't leave the home in many respects. So it's a terrible policy. I'm glad to hear that China has changed to some degree by allowing the families to have two, but it's an upward battle for those who were born during the period because they still don't have access to the resources. So,
right.
You know, with that, something certainly needs to be done, and it's, you know, this is a good start by putting it out there and letting the general public know that this exists. So I applaud you.
So thank you kindly. We appreciate that. I have a question. Do you think, knowing why it was put together, does that condone the reason? Does that condone the reason why it was put together, why it was manufactured, why it was put into effect? The fact that the overpopulation?
Well, of course not. I mean, it's sort of counterintuitive. I mean, from the beginning, man was told to be fruitful and multiply and replenish. And so for China to put a policy that says, hey, you know, you're only limited to one child, and cross your fingers and hope that that child is a boy, again, stands counter to, you know, to what humanity was given as, you know, as an instruction for going forward. So I don't think that it could be supported. But that's what they came up with.
There was something that they came out with back in 96. And this was supposed to be a more effective way of enforcing that policy. And that was, so they were doing amniocentesis, and they were giving results. So if you found that there was a thing that was a part of the child, like maybe it had the probody for pneumonia, the flu, sickle cell, chicken pox, that was a reason to terminate. So the mother never even had to show. They even had this thing where the husband and the husband had to report to the state. This is no joke. Report to the state on for the given month they were supposed to have any type of physical relations. If they were going to have sex, they had to tell the state. I can't even fathom that. It can. Yes. We're the Wongs. Yeah. We're going to. We're about to do the wild monkey dance. The third Thursday of next month, and it should go through until that Friday. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. What the hell? Really? And if the child resulted, if a child twins or something to that effect resulted because of that, they got fined. So if you had to make a choice, if you had twins or triplets, I just can't see it. I couldn't see it. That's horrendous. That is the most blatant disregard for basic human rights that I could even imagine. They're not allowed to go to churches. They cannot be with their families in social circles where the government has a stand, where they were, where they are, where they will be. So, like, if you go to City Hall, that child couldn't be there. They counted that it was 13.9 million of these children that they could account for. Those are the ones that were documented that happened to be born, that they were documented to be born. The other ones that were born, they never even allowed them to be documented. They didn't even let the mother in the hospital to have those children. So it's like a whole nother world. That's a state of people. That's a state of people. That's a city of people. A couple cities. And that's hellish to think about. Because I think about all the small stuff that we argue with over here in America, and by no means does it compare. Listen, the rest of the world, they have serious problems. they have serious issues. And black is more than just the color of skin. It's known as a negative. They call these people the black children of China because they're blacklisted. They are the dark children, the shadowed kids. And that ought to make you think, too. It's a whole nother discussion, but imagine.
In a sense, though, it makes you feel good that you are an American, because true and all, I mean, in other countries, certain things are just not allowed. But over here, it is allowed as far as to have kids. I mean, that's something that, you know, we really say don't think about. But in other countries, you can't even do it. So it makes you feel good that you are an American, that you have the right to have kids and have your freedom. You know, when it comes to you know, your relationship or your personal life, it makes you feel good that you can at least, you know, have your kids if you want to, and then to call them a black child, I agree, Trey, that is wrong, and it's hurtless. It's hurtful, rather, you know?
I think it's because the prime minister stated where it came from. They asked why. A prime minister of Beijing, of China, they asked them why titled them this. And I think I was mildly appalled, but it's something else. It's another issue that we'll address later. They said that it's because it was from an influence they received in the West of those individuals that they have there who have the same limit of rights. So they believe that the lower ethnic pool, as it were called, the black children of China, who are Chinese, they have nothing to do with African American or being, you know, of African descent. Their title was influenced because of the people over here and how America looks at us. Oh my God. That is hurtful. We have to change the way we think, the pattern of how we perceive things, everything. You know, because you never know how everybody else is looking at you. We're supposed to be the beacon. And that's what they came away with. That's
hurtful. Yeah, it's hurtful.
So, Jay, is there anything else that you wanted to drop on this?
Well, you know, I'm of the mind. It's really bad. You have to think about, you know, if we go back and we look at the historical context of the word black, there's a lot of negativity in certain realms. And then in other realms, it's used to designate power. You know, you look at a judge's robe, it's black, those types of things. But I think what was really, there were several things that were sad for me to hear, but the fact that they utilized the moniker given to a specific class of people to address that class of people or label them, that was a little disconcerting. And I think, obviously, you know, half an hour is just a tad too little of time to address this. I think that we can go a little deeper on that. And folks, listen again tonight at 7 p.m. on RadioPhoenix.org. You can also go to Live365.com and search for Radio Phoenix. You can also find us on TuneIn. Also, be aware that you can reach us on our Facebook page at On Point. It's Facebook. And go to On Point 2015, as well as email us at onpointphx@gmail.com. And then also you can follow us on Twitter at onpointphx as well. But we're going to go a little deeper on this. Trey, if you'd like to take us out, we'll see everyone next week. And thank you for all you've done for us this week and helping us get to Radio Phoenix.
Thank you. We appreciate our listeners so much, Lady Stevenson, Lady Harris, Mr. Mitchell. We appreciate all of you. Thank you, our guest, Mr. Harvey. It was wonderful having you. Raise your glasses, bottom to the top. Remember, every idea is grand, every thought is warranted, and for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
On point. Thank you.
Thank you.